If you have your Bible, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This morning, you may have expected our continuation of our systematic study in the book of Hebrews. And indeed, next Sunday, we will return to our systematic study, our exposition of the book of Hebrews. And next week we'll begin a four-week, perhaps a five-week series of messages on the living Word of God, the Bible, the supernatural nature of God's Word, and it'll come right out of the context of Hebrews 4. You don't want to miss that. In our day and time where the Bible is absolutely assaulted and attacked by everyone in our culture, even in the church now, the Word of God is no longer really upheld as authoritative and God breathe. I'm going to really hopefully edify all of us as we think about the Bible starting next week, right from the pages of Hebrews chapter 4. But this morning, if you would allow me, and if you are one who likes to pay attention during sermons and your memory is like mine and you think back to things that have happened in past, you may realize in the last number of years I've tried to concentrate one Sunday a year, this time of year, actually this specific Sunday, to be honest with you, the second Sunday of November, we've had a Thanksgiving potluck. Is there anything better than the Thanksgiving food? I mean, I shouldn't do this, but you know there's a God when you have turkey and potatoes and gravy and rolls and even the green bean casserole. I mean, God is good. God is real. I mean, His mercy that we can have this food. Now we're going to have it. This, whoever thought of this, there, get my pats on the back. Instead of having one big Thanksgiving meal, you're going to have two. You're going to have one today, and then in a couple weeks you'll have another one. This is good. This is a good thing. But we're going to talk just for a couple of minutes this morning, if you would allow me, seriously about the subject of being thankful. Are you a thankful person this morning? And I realize when we get around in our Bible study and our Sunday night service and when we talk with our church clothes on and our church masks on, we all appear so very, very holy and spiritual and humble and thankful, and you fill in the blank. But I want to get beyond that this morning, because I can promise you I've met a lot of people in churches just like this one. I've met a lot of guys doing what I'm doing this morning, leaders, elders, musicians. They're not thankful. They're not grateful. And I just want to talk to you this morning about the thesis of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. If you would just look at that for a moment with me, and I'll take you from there. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. It's one of my favorite passages in the New Testament because it talks specifically about the will of God. And the will of God has been made out to be this great, mysterious, perplexing, enigmatic subject that, I mean, only some superhero Christian could understand, but that's not true. The will of God is clear in the Bible. There are only five statements that specifically address the will of God. And I just want to talk about one of them today. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Look at it with me in your Bible. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, indeed, the context of Thessalonians, Paul is talking to this precious group of believers in Thessalonica. This is a mature group of Christians who love Christ. They loved each other. This was a very good church. And he's speaking to Christians in this passage, and I want you to underline the prepositional phrase, in everything. Do you see it? Do you see that in your Bible? This is where we struggle. This is where we struggle. I was just listening to a documentary this week about a ball player. One of these guys who was undrafted and he was a nobody and he got a chance to come to camp as a free agent and he made the team and he had a couple of, you know, a good rookie year and a second year, and then by the third year they get their free agent contract, and this guy cashed in and he made a huge contract, his second contract they call it, and he was just going on and on and on and on and on about how thankful he was that he was able to sign this multi-ridiculous, outrageous contract worth more money than, you know, I'll make in my whole life, he'll make it in a year. You get the idea. But he was talking about how thankful he was. And I was thinking to myself, it's pretty easy, right? To be thankful when you just signed a multi-million dollar, tens of millions of dollars of guaranteed money. I was thinking, brother, would you be so thankful if the team would have cut you and you would have to go get a $30,000 job? Would you be so thankful? I don't know. Maybe you would. I don't know. It's a wonderful illustration, though. I often watch on Monday, my off day before Monday Night Football, sometimes there's a show called How the Lottery Changed My Life. That show is fascinating. That show is absolutely fascinating. Because everyone on there talks about how thankful they are that they've won the lottery. And I'm thinking, would you be as thankful today if you didn't win the lottery? Or take it a step further, if all of your earthly finances were taken from you, would you be as thankful? I want you to notice with me in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Look at it in your Bible. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Are you a thankful Christian today? Are you thankful for everything? Because as a believer, the Bible teaches that God is sovereign, that God is in control, that God has a plan for your life, your circumstances, your relationships. And Paul tackled this in Romans 8, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who have been called according to His purpose. Are you thankful in everything? Your circumstances, your finances, your relationships, your station in life, your job, your children, your material standard of living. Are you thankful to God today? Perhaps we need to talk about the things that we don't have, the things that God has not given us for some of us. Are you thankful for God withholding some of the things perhaps He's withheld from you? And this is where we struggle in the church. We say, well, God didn't give me that and that and that and that. How dare He not give me that? Really? In everything. In everything, give thanks. Why should we be thankful? For this is God's will for you. If you're truly thankful today, you're in the will of God. If you're not thankful, if you're ungrateful, you're not in the will of God. It's just that simple. I love the clarity of Scripture. I want to illustrate this from Luke chapter 17. Turn there with me. If you have your Bible, please, if not, just listen. Luke chapter 17. Such a great illustration in Luke 17. In our modern era of Christianity, where everything has somehow been touched by the false doctrine of health, wealth, and prosperity. And it's rare to find a Christian today who doesn't think somehow in the back of their mind that if God loves you and cares for you, He's going to give you all these earthly things? Look at Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. This is a wonderful illustration. And Jesus actually tackles this subject from the negative. It's so interesting. If you take a, I studied public speaking. I have a public speaking as an undergraduate, a major in communication public speaking. And the first thing they talk about is if you're going to be a public speaker, if you're going to, whatever in public speaking field, you're going to be in politics or public relations, or if you're going to be a, whatever it is you do, a motivational speaker, you have to be positive, 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 positive. And the churches in our country that are overfilled, it's all motivational, positive speaking heresy. It's not even the Word of God. It's just the cult of positive self-esteem. But it's interesting, if you begin to read and study the Bible, Jesus often tackles these subjects. He often appeals to people, trying to produce a Holy Spirit reaction of repentance through teaching something from the negative rather than the positive. And I want to show you this. Look at Luke chapter 17, beginning of verse 11. And maybe this will speak to someone here today. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. They raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they?" If you're a Christian this morning, don't miss this. You have been cleansed from the leprosy of sin. I don't know how often you think about that. Christian, you have been cleansed from the death sentence, the suffering, the shame. Leprosy was a synonym in the Bible for suffering, isolation, shame, pain, sorrow, death, physically, relationally, spiritually. It ostracized you from the believing community. And if you are a Christian today, you have been cleansed, you have been healed from the death sentence of sin. And Jesus says in verse 17, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they?" Won't you allow the Holy Spirit today to move you to a real heart attitude of thanksgiving? Not because you won the lottery, not because your kid got into Harvard, not because there was some miracle in your life. Be thankful for the greatest miracle on the face of the earth, the fact that you, sinner, have been redeemed by holy God through His love, His mercy, and His grace. That should produce an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude this morning. I was thinking about one other passage just for a moment, and then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper together. I was thinking about the very familiar passage that I've used many times before on Communion Sunday, and I'll just mention it again if you would allow me. And you can turn there with me if you want. It's the great section at the end of 2 Corinthians 9. Look at that with me as we close, and we'll partake of Lord's Supper together. It's a great section in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you don't have your Bible, just listen. If you have a Bible, turn there with me. And while you're turning with me today to 2 Corinthians 9, I just want to take you, as I often do, from the lesser to the greater. Go with me. What do you have to be thankful for today? And I really do try to enter into the, as I'm preparing, starting early in the week, I really try to enter into the subject matter at hand. Whatever the point of the passage is, I really try to let the Holy Spirit deal with the preacher first. And you say, what does that mean for this week for you? Well, I went back and I spent time every single day this week, concentrated time on this subject of what do you have to be thankful for? And you're just like me, and enter in with me. What are some of the things we can be thankful for today? And I went all the way back to my earliest memories in life. I was thinking about my parents who loved me, sacrificed for me, cared for me, would have done anything for my well-being. Most of us here today can enter into that. You had the same situation. Your parents loved you. They cared for you. They would have done anything, sacrificed for you to give you opportunity in life. Boy, we should be thankful for our parents. You young people, teenagers, young people, you need to be thankful for your parents. There are children in the world who do not have parents who love them and care for them and sacrifice for them. You be thankful for your parents. I'm very thankful for the parents God gave me. As a young person, think with me. I think all of us here had the opportunity to learn how to read. Do you ever think about what a privilege it is to be literate, to be able to read? I'm thankful as a young person God gave me an average intelligence so I could think and learn and read and write and study. The opportunity to go to high school. Young people, do you realize that in the world in which you live, most people don't have, in these third world countries, they don't have opportunity to go to high school. The opportunity to go to high school and then to go to college. Are you thankful for all these things that got the opportunity to have enough skill to get a job and earn a living? Be thankful for these things. The opportunity to have food and clothing and shelter. Do you realize, young people especially, that in the world that you live in, most people don't have food, clothing, and shelter? I don't know about anyone here, and I often say this to Terry, I don't know if anyone even is going to buy this. But every day I'm thankful for my food, my clothing, and my shelter. That not one day in my life have I ever wondered, am I going to have something to eat today? Not one day in my life have I thought to myself, you know, you got to find a place to stay or you're going to be out in the rain and the cold and the wind tonight. Not one day did I wake up and say, you know what, you don't have any clean clothes to put on today. You ever thankful for the lesser things in life? Forget about the promotion. Forget about your ship coming in. Forget about all these things that consume people. Be thankful for the lesser. Because if you're not thankful for the lesser, you'll never be thankful for the greater. Amen? I'm thankful, and you can enter in with me. You all understand where I'm going. And as a young person, the fact that God just didn't give me over to my sin, and that God drew me to Himself as a young 20-something, that God didn't let me go. And this morning you're here in the church, And by virtue of you being in the church, God has not let you go. Some of you need to hear today that God's long arm of grace and love and mercy is there. And He will meet you, forgive you, give you a new start, a new beginning. He will guide you, direct your path, your steps as you yield yourself to Him and repent of sin and turn to Christ in faith. He's there for you. And I was thinking this week in my quiet time just about how thankful I am that God just didn't leave me to my own devices. I was thinking about this incredible truth that God gave me a wife. You guys ever think about that? That God would give some of you guys a wife? Like any woman deserves some of you guys. No woman deserves me. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And then you move from the greater, you move from the lesser to the greater, and you think about truth that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the chief. And you think about all of the things that you've done to transgress God's law. Men, women, young people, think with me. All of the volitional ways that you have sinned against God just this week. Thoughts, words, deeds, attitudes, things that you've done, as the old Lutheran Creed used to say, and things left undone. You have no chance of being holy, righteous, pure, perfect. You have no chance of standing before a holy God. You have no chance of earning heaven on the curve by merit, by good works, by church attendance, ceremony, sacrifices. God did it all on the cross. And all you have to do is repent and believe the gospel. Boy, you talk about God's grace, God's love. What about this? And all of us who have turned the corner from youth into middle age, or perhaps some of us who have turned the corner from middle age into maybe even what's, I'm not even going to say what's after middle age, but you get the idea. We have the promise of Scripture that we have an eternal home for waiting for us. We have eternal security in Christ. We needn't fear the grave. Why? You talk about a glorious word in our day and time where every single day people are coming to the end of their mortal lives. Tens of thousands of people in our country every day are coming to the end of life. And we have an eternally secure home in heaven. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:15. And as you come to the conclusion of 2 Corinthians 9, we're out of time. I'm just going to mention this one thing and then we'll be done. It's so interesting. 2 Corinthians 9 is all about the Christian and his willingness to give to the work of ministry, to the glory of God, to give as a willing offering, not because someone's telling you to do it. You give it out of gratitude. It's all about the gracious love of God and your response to that, which is gracious, willing giving from a cheerful heart, not under compulsion, but willingly. That's the context. It's fascinating of 2 Corinthians 9. And then you come to verse 15. And the Bible compares the believer willingly giving as an offering for the work of ministry with God giving the gift of His Son. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. That is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. The supreme reason to be thankful today has nothing to do with circumstances, possessions, health, wealth, prosperity, jobs, material blessings, bank accounts. The Bible tells us to be thankful for the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ going to the cross, shedding his blood, rising from the dead to provide for our justification. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Why should we be thankful this morning on the Lord's Day, the day we partake of our Thanksgiving potluck? Why should we be thankful, Christians? God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear God, pray that your Spirit would work in the hearts of everyone here today, and that we would be in your will, and this message would give you praise and glory, as it would draw someone perhaps into an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving. And we know if we're thankful today for the lesser and the greater, we're truly in your will. And that's my desire, dear God, that we would be a thankful people as a church, as individuals, as a body, as visitors that have come, that we would just be thankful, God. That we would truly be thankful, knowing that to be thankful is to be pleasing to you, to be in your will. And dear God, as always, we pray in unity for anyone here who's never come to the cross and put their faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray for them. We pray they would see the indescribable gift, apply it to their own heart, their own life. Be thankful that God has given them the free offer of forgiveness through his mercy. I pray that would ring in the heart of someone today, and they would come, they would believe, they would repent, they would respond, and they would cry out to you for salvation, for forgiveness of sins, and they would believe. And dear God, for all of us who have put our faith in Christ now, would you prepare them to partake of Lord's Supper? Would you help us to remember the sacrifice, the shed blood, the love inherent in Jesus, the love personified on the cross? Help us, dear God, Holy Spirit, do that work of quickening our hearts, so that we would partake of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." If you're visiting today, you profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, welcome to partake of the Lord's table with us. As believers, we don't put that restriction on the Lord's Supper, so you're welcome. If you believe that Jesus is Lord and God, and you've repented and you've come to him as Savior, you partake of communion with us if you so desire. For the rest of us, as the men come to pass the bread, would you bow your heads and just think about this attitude of gratitude? And if you've struggled with being a thankful Christian, maybe that's where you need to start today, as you examine yourself, so that you would partake of the Lord's table in a worthy manner. Would you just think about the great gift of forgiveness of sins? Think deeply about that. Be thankful, be grateful. Remember the literal Jesus, the day he died. Remember that. Remember the shed blood. Remember the suffering, the pain. Remember his act of substitution for you. Remember that. Go back and think about God's plan from before the foundation of the world. For He was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Think about that, and then think about your current attitude that you have. And perhaps for some of us, there'll be a great time of repentance, and we'll be thankful, and that will be pleasing to God. Men, please pass the bread. Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. This is what we're remembering. This is what we're celebrating. This is what we're thankful for today as God's people. How can a sinner like you or me be reconciled to Holy God? How does that happen? The Bible talks about Jesus becoming sin for you. God made the perfectly holy, righteous Jesus to be sin for the sinner. God treated Christ as if He were a sinner, though He was not. Jesus died as a substitute to pay the penalty for sin that you deserve. On the cross, Jesus was completely, utterly holy, righteous, perfect. God punished Him. He treated Him as if He were guilty. He was treated as if He were guilty of all the sins ever committed by all who would ever believe, though He committed none. It's been well said, the wrath of God was exhausted on Him, the just requirements of God's law met for those for whom He died. That's what we're remembering today. Jesus' perfect righteousness becomes the believer's perfect righteousness. It's an unbelievable thought. The true Christian is thankful. The true Christian is thankful that God looks at them as righteous rather than a sinner. This is the gospel. This is what we remember today. Let's eat together. Men, please pass the cup. In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And as we drink together, we remember the literal blood that was shed. As we receive that gift by faith, we have the promise that God forgives us, not only for salvation today, but for some of us to bring us back into fellowship with Him. Let's drink together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Would you stand and lead us in a word of prayer for our food? As we close our service, let's pray together. Dear God, with all of our hearts, we're thankful. I pray that we would be moved to an attitude of gratitude from Your word today. That's my sole prayer, that You would have been glorified and that Christians would be in Your will today as we are thankful, as we meditate on the good gifts You've given us, and the greatest gift of all, the forgiveness of sins. We give You all the praise for it. And thank You, God, even for the physical food we're about to eat and those who prepared it. We praise You for food, clothing, and shelter and these lesser things as well. Dear God, as we eat together now, help us to get a foretaste of what it will be like in heaven, where for all eternity we'll gather and worship You and be together in perfect fellowship, unity and harmony. Thank You for the food You've given us, the spiritual food, Your word, and the physical food we're about to partake of. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here.